Welcome again, everyone. This is July the 28th, and it's a beautiful day here. And I know on some level it's a beautiful day everywhere because it's a day God created. It's the Sabbath, and it's a day we can enjoy our connection and our oneness with the Creator. And I suppose more than anything else, that's what I want to talk about today. I see someone coming on the call, and I just love to have some community input, so let me take this call. Pardon me, it's area code 321, and you're on.
Hello. Hey, would you mind speaking about developing intuition and specifically about, like, knowing where you stand, you know, not being fooled by unscrupulous and also, you know, of course, not treating friends, you know, poorly, you know, knowing where people stand, I guess.
Okay. Would you like me to speak to that right now or work it into a presentation later? Is this a specific, I guess what I'm trying to say is this something that's tied into a specific need you have that you haven't told me about?
No, I'd way more enjoy if you worked it in at a time you'd like to, that you would enjoy talking about it.
Actually, I think it will be a great addition to what I had planned for the day. And so thanks for helping me gather my thoughts. You know, I really, really have, speaking of intuition, I have always had a good success with the audiences I'm with, because before I ever speak a word, I read the room. Before I ever deliver messages, if you will, I allow other people to deliver their messages to me, their questions. I get in touch with my audience because even though I am a spokesperson for Yeshua, I'm a spokesperson for you too. And it's a little hard, a little harder being on a conference call where I can't see your faces, where I can't see what you're bringing into the room, so to speak. And actually, even though it's not defined by bricks and mortar, this is a room because we have connected around the world, and energetically we have created a space for all of us to be in for this moment in time. And I really appreciate having this input. And you were actually using intuition right then to because of what I had already planned to speak on today, and you were using your intuition to become part of the subject, to allow what you needed to know to be tailored specifically to your interest. If there's anyone else who'd like to speak up, I would love to hear from you, because always it's at the beginning that we can benefit the most by community input for several reasons. The obvious one is you let me know more about the congregation to which I speak, the community to which I speak. And we still have a lot of people signing on to the call. By about 15 after the hour, then we have most of our audience here. And I think they come on because they want to hear me talk, and then they want to be in the right state of mind to receive the blessing. So I'll just begin with what I had to say today. And then if someone else wants to, in the next, I would say 10 minutes, come in and add a little bit of refinement to that, a little more application for you or a comment you'd wish to make, that's fine. I was thinking about the miracle of the human body. Naturally, my attention has been on healing a lot in the last months, or it's now about a month and a week since I underwent major surgery. And it was really a journey of realization, experience, enlightenment, and nothing turning out the way I thought it would be, but not for the worst of reasons, for the best of reasons. For example, I woke up in the middle of my surgery. I had no idea that would happen, but it wasn't bad. And it really strengthened my conscious direction of what I was going through and receiving, and my ability to be there in partnership with God and in partnership with my physician and attendants to bring about the very best possible result. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect even the procedure they were using. I didn't expect anything. But one thing I definitely did not expect is that 30 minutes after surgery, I would be sitting up in my room eating. I did not expect that. I didn't expect I would be walking before the day was over. Everything that has happened to me, I didn't expect. Another thing I didn't expect is that I would be free of my crutches completely within 2 weeks. When I went back for my two-week appointment to my doctor, I expressed that, am I doing something wrong, that I just am not using my crutches? And actually, I saw the physician's assistant that time, who's a man, so I have to now switch to the male gender, and he said, no, you're doing just great. If you don't need them, don't use them. And so I said, well, you know, I've been doing some other things that I was told I couldn't be able to do. And he said, well, let me see you do them. And I did. He said, oh, you're fine for that. And I thought, wow, this is really amazing. And so I went to an interview a few weeks ago to my physical therapist, who is the most aggressive one in Sedona. And she was interviewing me, and she said, well, tell me, she said, first of all, she said, I can't, you are so far ahead of the curve. She said, you know, it was 3 weeks out from surgery. She said, you know, most people are still on crutches, and you're not even using a cane. What are you doing? And I said, well, let's see, what am I doing? I'm not eating right because I'm too tired to eat. I'm working too hard, so I don't sleep. I'm up all day, and I can't take any of my supplements or vitamins because the doctors warned me about possible conflicts for the, you know, the healing protocol. And I don't take the pain relievers because they interfere with my consciousness, and I need to work a long day. And her chin was just kind of dropping. She says, well, I couldn't recommend this for anyone else, but obviously whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And it began to get me to think about, not just, you know, okay, I can congratulate myself on a speedy progress in my recovery. Getting ready to go on a long trip in a month, I'm going to open a solo art exhibit in Texas. So I'm going to tell you about that. Well, I would love to meet anybody who's in that region, and that gives us an opportunity to say hello and for you to see my art. But for now, this is not about self-congratulation. I've really been in my meditation thanking God and taking a look at, well, how is this happening? Obviously, it's not medicine doing it. It's not me. What are you doing? And I will just say to God, what? Others who have attended me, and I've gone back several times to the doctor, and they say, you know, some people never get out of their wheelchair. And I'm thinking, well, why am I doing so well? Other people never get out of their wheelchair. What is it? What is the miracle of healing? And I think that's a very relevant subject for our blessing call, because so many people who come to the blessing want healing in one form or another. It may be healing in your relationship, in your self-esteem, in your career, financially, physically, spiritually, new hope in life. How is it some people just become down and out and they stay there even though they pray, they ask for help, and they don't get up? And I have been praying and holding this thought in my meditation, and more than anything else, I want this revelation. Now, I'm going to confess to you right now that I'm only getting bits and pieces of it. I don't know that God has yet deemed me ready to know as much as I'm asking to know, or that I'm ready to be a steward of this knowledge to pass on to others. But I know there are answers. And one of them that was revealed to me is that people can actually become addicted to being ill. They can actually become addicted to letting go and not caring. They can become addicted to the loss of faith because it gives them an excuse to buffer against fear they might have or anxiety they might have if they really reached for an answer, if they really looked for the truth. And there are many people who have settled for less. And in settling for less, God does not interfere. I was thinking about all the healings that Yeshua did that are reported in the New Testament. And in every case, he asked the person, do you want to be healed? In other words, he was not going to override any other form of decision they might have made, that I'm unworthy, or if I don't have the faith, or I've just become conditioned to being down and out, it's better because that's all someone in my lot can ever expect. He wouldn't overcome those. Now, he taught, as in the Sermon on the Mount, he taught diligently his whole time on earth to help people have a better way of life, to embrace a higher self-esteem, and to reach for a relationship with God, and to support that relationship one with another. But he never interfered with anyone's decision to do that. It was entirely up to that person to make the decision. And that worked around with the other common teaching, which he taught and taught his apostles to teach, and that was about repentance. And repentance is not the misconception that has come down through the ages by so many clerics and clergymen and amateur preachers who wanted to find some reason to say from the pulpit, you are a sinner, confess your sin, and then walk to the altar and give us some money. That has been the most abused teaching of all time. The word repent meant turn around. It meant change your mind. That's all it means. Change your heart, change your mind. In other words, if you change your mind, if you change your heart, and you see only the best for yourself, God will give you a matching grant. I guess that's the best way to say it in modern language. You have to, first of all, be the one who says, I don't want to be in this condition anymore, whatever that condition is. And then God does provide the matching grant. I've never seen it not work, ever. And I know that that is a part of the secret. That I want to see the whole picture. but I know that that is part of what's being revealed to me. And some of this ties in with the question that I was asked about, how can we build intuition? Well, my friend, you were created in the image of God. And that's a biggie. That's a really biggie. And that, I know that's why this revelation I'm asking for is so big. It can't be given to me all in one slice of pie. We were created in the image of God. The entire universe was downloaded into all of us. If you can imagine, all of us have the same basic, total, universal potential. And I'm using a modern term now, downloaded, since most people do have computers or some familiarity with them. You know how you put a program in and you download it. The entirety of creation was downloaded into each person. But once we're born and once we have an identity, most of our life is actually focused upon the part of that download that applies uniquely to us. We get into, I'm John, Mary, Sally, Roger, Tim, and Kevin. You know, we are our name, our identity, and only a small amount of that huge download seems to be relevant to us. And we think the rest is just beyond us. And I am a living example of how I could go, just read Love Without End again if you don't think. I've traveled a huge trip on this journey. How I started as a fairly intelligent, well-educated young woman, but nevertheless someone who lived her own genre. In other words, her own reality. I was a Texan. I was the lady of my generation. I had my own particular interests. And as an artist, I had my style and my agenda, and I was very reluctant to take on spiritual paintings. In other words, I had built my world around that little pearl that had developed around that little grain of sand that I called me. The pearl had built around the little problems I considered to be I, me, and myself, and solutions and embellishments to that. And I wasn't really willing to step out and be more than I was. But it was so wonderful to be with Yeshua. It was so wonderful to know him. I couldn't resist the opportunity to speak with him, to get to know him. And then it just became easier and easier to ask the bigger questions. Because I was becoming the bigger potential that God had provided from before the beginning of my life, and I hadn't even looked into it. And you can tell by comparison, by the time I'm writing the Keys of Yeshua, how much I've stepped outside that small conversation. Now, I don't mean to say that that Yeshua's part of the conversation in Love Without End was small. It was huge. The biggest conversation in my life. But my side of it was small compared to my part in the conversation by the Keys of Yeshua. You can see the growth of a person. Now, in order to expedite our intuition, we have to know we're part of something larger than this little encapsulated self with a name on it that has opportunities, problems, and agendas that are unique to itself. We have to grow beyond that and be more than we are. Now, that's also part of the answer to the miracle of healing, because as we grow beyond the smaller self that has no answers, obviously, we make ourselves more available to the self that does have answers, that's more connected to what we might call larger consciousness or even the field of healing, where we can become more whole. And the wholeness that God has provided can now pour down upon us, and we've got room for it. I'm sure God pours blessings on us every day, and we shed them off like water off a duck's back because we just simply don't have room for it. Our lives are filled with all that we think we know we are. We are this, that, and the other, and go away, don't tell me I'm anything else. And where can the blessings of God fit in? If we don't let go just a little bit of this bound up identity of who we are. And I think this is what Yeshua was saying in that when he said, in order to find yourself, you must first lose yourself. He didn't mean to lose your soul. He didn't mean to cast yourself away into the chaos of the universe, having no countenance for yourself. He meant let go of this tiny definition of who you are. It opens up a bigger potential for what can pour down for you. You become filled with the power of God that has always been there from the very beginning. And actually, I think it would be good at this point for us to talk about this subject of equality. Because if we are all created in the image of God, what are we talking about? What does the Bible really mean when it says that? Does it mean that literally, that God would walk upon the earth as a human being? Well, I think God fully incarnated in the form of Yeshua. And the tales of the ancient tales of all the great books of wisdom record a time when God did appear among us in human form. And could God appear in a human form right now? Absolutely. Nothing is limited to God. God can be any and all things. Anything, all things, all at once. This is omniscience. This is omnipresence. This is omni-ability. So let's don't limit God, what God can do. But now what does this relate to for us? Because, and I think it's time we had a little conversation about this, because we've mentioned so many times, as have others in so many churches, that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And that's good to know. That's a good object of contemplation, because the fact is our bodies are mortal, and spiritually we are immortal, and it builds spiritual confidence, it builds spiritual connection, it helps us to understand our spiritual continuity. These are all good things to know, but at the same time, if we carry that to excess, we could almost consider this body to be a handy wipe, something we just pull out of a box, use for a moment, throw it away, and pull another one out of the box. And I don't think that's true. I think every single human being is divine. I think we've actually come to a point in our expansion of population where we're almost on the verge of diminishing the importance of physical human life. And that in itself would be a crime against God. Because every physical human life is a presence of the divine. And to trivialize that or diminish it in any way is to miss the other side of the equation. And I have, as I ask for answers to my question, the main thing I'm being told is, are you ready to accept the divinity of the human body? And I will say, yes, Lord, I am, but I don't know how, considering how many people are doing bad things, how many people are being hurt, how many people are being pushed aside or starving, how many people are being disregarded. What do I do with this revelation? And I'm being prepared for it being given to me in a more full-bodied form, but what I want to share with you right now is something I think we all can look at, and we all have to look at. You know, there is a science of cloning. I don't know whether they have fully cloned a complete human being, but we do know they have cloned animals, what Dolly the sheep and others. And that clone could come from the most insignificant part of a body. Let's just say if I were going to be cloned, they could clone me from a DNA sample in my little finger. It wouldn't have to come from my heart or my brain. From my little finger, they could clone me totally. I mean, theoretically, if this science is perfected, if it could be done, which means there is no lesser cell in my body as long as it's still alive. There is no lesser cell anywhere. My little finger is just as important as my heart, my brain, everything about me. But on a functional side, from a functional perspective, let's face it, I could live without that little finger. I could live without a couple of legs. Now, it wouldn't be the same quality of life. I could live without one kidney or one lung. It wouldn't be the same quality of life, but I could do it. Now, I could not live without my heart or my brain. So when it comes to functionality, there is organization. There is, if you will, leadership, importance, what comes first, what's most important, what is most essential. And I think that understanding functionality is an important thing, but it cannot get in the way of the fact that everything is divine. I think we have overplayed functionality and the dominance of essentials to the point that we have lost understanding of the divine presence. And I would say theoretically, by focusing upon one cell in my body that is perfectly whole and healthy, that without having the science of cloning me as a different entity, that cell could clone its health through my whole body. And my whole body could become well because I focus upon that which is well in myself. And in many conversations I've had with my husband, who is a world-class psychologist, we have talked about the miracle of focusing on what works. Not just in a human body, but in an organization, in life, in a career, in the world. Way too much attention is given right now to what doesn't work. And guess what we're getting more of? More things that don't work. Guess what we would get more of if we focused on what did work? If we focused upon the divine. And it may be as simple as that God requested we honor and celebrate the Sabbath. Because the importance of the Sabbath is to honor and worship God, the Almighty, the Creator, but also the presence of God perfection in all things, to find that which is perfect in all things. And if we must be obsessed about anything, let us be obsessed about perfection. Let us let go of our objections, our insecurities, our low self-esteem. And as we focus upon the perfection in all things, our love will grow, our self-esteem will grow, the bigger definition of who we are will grow, and our ability to have empathic, telepathic, and intuitive connections with all of life will increase. The more we focus on the negative, the more we will climb in a box and hide. And that's just human nature, my friends. So for this moment in time, let us let our attention fall into our heart and let it focus upon one perfect heart cell, one perfect part of our being, and just let go of anything that is less than perfect. Just be there with what is perfect that you would like to have in union with God. And then bathe that attention with prayers, praise, joy, gratitude, and request. Request given in honor with a true decision that you want something better in your life. You want more of everything that's good. You want that multiplication. Let us multiply that which is good and see the miracle that comes about. And I would like to ask the blessing givers to join me in conducting the energy of the Holy Spirit. We are antennas that help to conduct that energy from heaven to earth. Have your feet unclothed with socks on the ground and be in a seated position that's comfortable with your head pointed upward and uncovered. And just pray and receive. After about 3 minutes, I'll let you know when we're finished. Then you go lie down and just assimilate again without thoughts, because thoughts tend to polarize. Thoughts tend to be comparative, and you can't compare anything. Comparing a good apple against a not so good apple. We just want to focus on all the good apples in your life. Okay? Let us begin. You begin your prayer. I will say my invocation to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being one among us who is an eternal example of all the good we can be, who has showed us what it looks like to be the bigger person we can be, the person that does not run from challenge, that does not run from threat, that does not run away from pain or discomfort, the person who no matter what focuses on the best there is and multiplies it until in that multiplication, literally a new person is born. Thank you for giving us that holy and divine example. We ask that we may walk in your footsteps and be the larger person we are. We open ourselves to the grace and love of God, the Holy Spirit, and your eternal companionship with us. Amen. Amen. And your blessing energy is complete. Now I ask that you go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Just receive, be blessed, and know that you're loved. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.